Time for World Sport from the BBC with me, Aaron Armstrong. Coming up, can Justine Henin claim a major scalp in her Grand Slam comeback in Australia? Revenge is sweet for Carlos Tevez in the Manchester Cup Derby.
Bellamy plays it in. Palmed away by Van der Sar. Dropping on the edge of the penalty area. Headed forward by Zavallet. Still in play. Here's Tevez. Tevez scores his second goal of the night. Van der Sar complains, but Tevez was there as it was hooked back in by Company.
And Ghana reached the last eight of the Africa Cup of Nations, where they'll meet the hosts, Angola. We start at the Australian Open Tennis, where Justine Henin will be attempting to get through to the third round in her first Grand Slam since coming out of retirement. Henin plays the fifth seed Elena Dementieva in the standout match of the day a little later. Her Belgian compatriot Kim Clijsters is also making a comeback at Melbourne and is on court now. Let's get the latest score from the BBC's Alistair Eakin.
Well, Clijsters is having to work hard here against Thailand's Tamarine Tanasugan. The Belgian took the opening set 6-3. She seemed on course for a pretty straightforward win, but Tanasugan has raised the stakes. She's raised her own consistency as well in set two. She leads by 3-1, so a tough second round for Clijsters to negotiate as she makes her return here in Melbourne. Already victorious today, the women's third, fourth and seventh seeds, Svetlana Kuznetsova, Caroline Wozniacki and Victoria Azarenka. Andy Roddick has begun well over in the High Sense Arena. He's a set-up against Thomas Bellucci of Brazil. Safina and Del Potro to come on that court. And, of course, that big one that you mentioned from the second round of the women's draw. Ena against Dementieva, their first up in the evening session.
Thank you very much, Alistair. Plenty more from Alistair Eakin in Melbourne and our team out there in our later bulletins. Now, Manchester City have beaten the holders Manchester United 2-1 in the home leg of their League Cup semi-final. Carlos Tevez scored twice against his former club, watched at Eastlands by the BBC's Alan Green.
Oh, the irony. In the summer, United couldn't find the money or didn't want to find the money to keep Tevez. The Argentine crossed the City to join City and here scored twice to lift his new club off the floor to gain an advantage in the semi-final. For 40 minutes, that didn't look likely. Giggs had put United in front and they were in complete control, City in tactical disarray. But then City got a four-stroke penalty. Yes, Raphael pulled Bellamy back, but outside, not inside the box. Tevez, in delight, dispatched the spot kick. City revitalised, set up far better by Mancini in the second half, and a Tevez header made it 2-1 after 64 minutes. United had several chances to equalise in a frantic finish, but they didn't.
Well, we'll hear from joyous Carlos Tevez in a moment, but first here's the City midfielder, Gareth Barry, who's full of praise for his Argentine striker.
Obviously the talk was about Carlos before the game and, you know, he's done his talking on the pitch today with a great performance. It's the way it's written sometimes and, you know, the way Carlos works, he deserves it. Yeah, it's still in the balance, half-time obviously, and, you know, we know we expect a tough game at Old Trafford. They're going to push on and give all they can and, you know, we've got to expect a battle again.
I feel okay, it's too tired, but it's okay. Special for me, but it's my late team, but it's okay. Now it's City for the fantasy team.
Manchester United may point to City's controversial first-half penalty as the turning point in the match, but their goal scorer Ryan Giggs says his side should have been more positive after taking the lead.
Well, we got off to the perfect start, obviously going a goal ahead, then City come back into it, obviously got the pen, and yeah, I think after the first goal we probably stopped playing a little bit. Like I say, they got back into it, went in at half-time 1-1, and we felt that we could play a little bit better second half, which I felt we did.
Was there some anger in the dressing room about the way the penalty came? It didn't look like a penalty.
Yeah, I think so. I think the original tug was outside, but it's given a penalty and there's nothing we can do about it.
Second leg takes place at Old Trafford next Wednesday. The Tottenham manager Harry Redknapp's expressed interest in signing the Real Madrid striker Ruud van Nistelrooy on loan. The Dutchman's keen to get regular football ahead of the World Cup this summer, and having already been a big success at Manchester United, Redknapp believes van Nistelrooy will be a huge hit at White Hart Lane.
He's a fantastic player in England. He's, you know, he's been a great player over the years and he's a great goal scorer. And if he was available, it could be of interest. And that's about as far as it's gone. I wouldn't want to say, no, we're not interested, then in 2 weeks' time we go and do something. That wouldn't be right. I wouldn't do that to you, you know. It's not impossible that if it was right, we could be interested.
The Liverpool manager Rafa Benitez says his winger Ryan Babel will be in the squad for Wednesday's rearranged Premier League match against Tottenham. Babel's been the subject of transfer speculation and was dropped from the squad that drew 1-1 with Stoke on Saturday after posting comments on a social networking site. But Benitez insists the matter is now closed.
he came to my office and he apologized. He knows he has made a mistake, and for me, I think it's better to focus in the things that we can change. So Ryan will be in the squad because we have 20 players tomorrow ready for the training session, so he's in between these 20 players.
Now, the Premier League's bottom club, Portsmouth, have failed in their attempt to block a winding-up petition being brought against them by the United Kingdom's Revenue and Customs. A High Court judge rejected the club's application, and it means they could become the first Premier League side to be forced into administration when the petition's heard next week. And West Ham's new owner, David Sullivan, says there are major concerns over the state of finances of clubs in the English Premier League.
It's crazy that whatever they get off television, that and more goes to the players and the agents. And there's a complete imbalance at most Premier League clubs, and somehow one has got to curtail the wages. If a club doesn't go into administration before the end of the season, I'll be very surprised. And it's possible...
In the Premier League?
In the Premier League. And I think it's possible that club, which will remain nameless, and it's not this club, I would say that, that club, the football debts may exceed the value of the club, which then would put the club out of business altogether.
Ghana are through to the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations in Angola after a 1-0 win over Burkina Faso in Luanda. They'll play the host nation for a place in the semis after finishing as runners-up behind Ivory Coast in Group A. Ghana, who had to beat Burkina Faso to go through, were without Michael Essien and several key players due to injury, but in the end it didn't matter, as the BBC's Richard Connolly reports.
So Ghana through and right to enjoy their celebrations, especially considering disruption to the squad caused by injuries to key players, not least Michael Essien at the weekend. But as he watched on from the stands, Burkina Faso were excellent, especially in the first half hour, and will point to the sending off of defender Amadou Tal as a decisive moment. The referee thought Tal had struck the face of Asamoah Gyan. Replays showed nothing of the sort. Ghana's goal was a well-taken header by Dede Ayew, and after Tal dismissal, they should have had more. Draman especially was wasteful. Burkina's passing football, though, was a joy.
Ghana's Matthew Amoa says their qualification for the last eight is down to good team spirit within the squad and thoughts of their injured teammates.
Yeah, we are really, really, really happy. We did this for not only Mike Essien, but the rest of the players who are not here. And if we did the same like today, I think we will beat Angola.
Now, as we just heard, Burkina Faso's Mamadou Tal shown a straight red in the second half after the referee mistakenly thought he'd struck Asamoah Gyan in the face. Burkina's coach, Paulo Duarte, says that poor decision ended their hopes of reaching the quarterfinals.
Yes, it's the decisive moment of the match, because from that point on, we had to take risks, and with the quality and efficiency of Ghana, we lose a player and we are out.
In the German Bundesliga, Hannover 96 have appointed the former Schalke coach Mirko Slomka as their new manager. He replaces Andreas Bergman, who was sacked early on Tuesday with the team third from bottom of the table. Bergman only took over in August. The club thanked him for the sensitivity he showed when guiding the team through a difficult phase following the suicide of their goalkeeper Robert Enke in November. And finally, India's cricketers will start the fourth day of the first test against Bangladesh shortly on 122 for 1 in their second innings, an overall lead of 123. Bangladesh made 242 in their first innings in Chittagong, almost matching the tourists' efforts. Well, just a reminder that in the latest match at the Australian Open, Kim Clijsters is making good progress towards the third round. She leads Tana Tangasugarn 6-3 and 2-3 down in the second set. That's the latest world sport from the BBC.